The scripture says in Psalms 96, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of all the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigns. The world also shall be established. It shall not be moved, and he shall judge the people righteously. We have come today to highlight God's work among nations, among our community. And it's a very special time. And I not only want us to cast a vision, but I want us to catch it. I want us to understand how important it is for us to take the gospel not only to our community and not only speak it, preach it, teach it from this place, but that it also goes out in our nation and into the world. And our church has been a very strong cooperative program church. It's been a good giver to the association and to our local campground. We have been faithful to give to Oklahoma Baptist Homes for Children. We've been faithful to give in many, many areas, partnerships that have been formed by the association or that we have connected ourselves with. And God has blessed that. And so I want you to hear from people that it's not all the ones that we pray for. It's not all the ones that your money goes to, but this is a great pool of people, of servants of God that have been called out and that we do pray for and that we do support. And here's the final thought that I have for us. Not only do we pray for them and not only do we financially support them, but I'm going to ask us to be prayerful about participating with them in the work. Now, that might mean that some of us need to get our passports. It might mean that you need to be prayerful about a trip, even in the United States or here locally. But I'm going to ask you to be prayerful about participating. And wouldn't it be awesome if God would call somebody out of this church as a missionary or a church planter, a pastor somewhere? I'm excited to see God do that. And I know that you would be prayerful about that as well. And so this morning, without any more introduction, I'm going to begin our time with our special guest. And I believe that pastor and church planter, Brother Angel Morales, is first up. And so we got some slides that we're going to show. Let me just have him come on up here. He's a good friend of mine and our partner in Nebraska. He and his family are here with us this week. Let me just say something about Brother Angel. This guy's the most genuine person you'll ever find on planet Earth. I mean, he loves Jesus. He loves people. And he is the real deal. And Brother Angel and his family are going to stay with us through Wednesday night. And he's going to give his testimony. And you don't want to miss that. I'm going to ask Peyton and Mickey and Pam to bring their students out here. If that won't wrinkle anything, and we're going to come into this sanctuary and hear about how God both saved Angel and called him to the ministry. But how we're doing this morning is they're just going to step up as their slide comes up, and I've given them a little bit of time, probably not even as much time as I've taken. I'm sorry, but I appreciate these folks, and I'm going to have them come up and share. And you guys are going to enjoy hearing from each one of them. You come, my brother.
Thank you. tell you, you're blessed to be here.
And I'm already touched. I haven't even started yet. I'm already touched. Just with the music.
Amen.
What you have here is beautiful. Sir.
Amen.
I've come from a very dry place with the Word of God, the gospel, and Sunday school here, and Sunday school class this morning, and the music has really, really touched me. But my name is Angel Morales, and I have a beautiful wife here with me, Rachel, and my kids. They're all in the middle there. They're Gabriel, Ethan, Isabel, and Stella. That's my family, and I introduced them to start with because if anybody does any kind of ministry, you will understand that it's not just you, the one that goes to ministry when God calls you. It's the whole family, and it's very important that I tell you that. I have been married for 23 years. I was in the military for 22 years, and God called us. We are from Missouri originally. I was born in Honduras, but we are from Missouri, and God called us to ministry. And about 3 years ago, we packed all of our stuff and went to Omaha, Nebraska, where God had called us to go. Not my place of choice, but I have to go where God calls me, where it's called. But we're planners there, and we start planning a church. It's called Camino a la Cruz, which means way to the cross. And we're reaching the Hispanic families, the Hispanic community in the area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our life verse is out of John 14:6, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes through. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's what we do in Omaha, Nebraska. So we have been able to meet the needs of the people and the community, the Hispanic community. We're reaching out to the community. And we've been able to reach out with the gospel through this pandemic, believe it or not. We go to the people that have lost their jobs, and we help them get a job. We help them. We bring food to them because they don't have anything to eat, and we share the gospel with these people. Not necessarily the ones that come to our church, but the ones that are outside the church. We also have been able to come along and work along them. Last year when we had floods in Nebraska, and we was able to meet families and be part of them, and they have become part of our family. They lost everything. And we was able to reach out to them, and now they're part of the church. They're part of the family of our church. We hold many outreaches throughout the year in Omaha, Nebraska, like soccer camp, vacation Bible school, backyard Bible. We do a lot of walking, prayer walking, knocking on doors, and things like that. But our goal is to reach out to these families and invest in them, invest time in them, invest in a relationship. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to do such a thing with the kind of background that they have, the kind of culture that they have. It's not easy to peel that away, so we have to show them. We have to invest time in them and effort, and we have to show them that we live by what we say, by what the Word of God says, in order for them to come to church. And I'm going to share a little bit of what's going on there. I can tell you many stories, but I'm going to share just a little bit of what happened here lately. I'm going to tell you about this guy. His name is Martin. I teach a class at the jail, at the local jail, and Martin got saved in jail. And many of them get saved, and then they go back to their country, and we teach them how to go and share the gospel there. But Martin got to stay here. He knows that that's a blessing, and he went back to his family. And when he went back to his family, his wife saw that he went in jail, and he was a mess when he went in there. But now he's out, and now he's got this joy, this happiness, this hope that he never had. And now she wants some of that, but she don't know how to get some of that. And he's trying to explain to her, and she's just not getting it. And then she starts coming to church. Maybe she will get some of that at the church. And she keeps coming to church, and she has a lot of questions. And we try to answer whatever we can out of it. But one day, we went to her house with my wife, Rachel. I was the translator this time, okay? I do that a lot. But we shared the gospel with her. And, you know, she thought that for her to accept the gospel, She had to be good. She had to be perfect. That she didn't want to be messy for her to accept the gospel when she came to the Lord. So my wife explained to her in very nice words. She said, look, Jesus wants us just how we are. Jesus wants us. He's the one that wants to cleanse us up. He's the one that wants to clean that mess, that sin, that whatever you have going on in your life. And finally, she accepted Jesus into her heart. It was not easy, but I'm going to tell you, we give the glory to God for what he did with this lady. And now the family, now their son is going through the same thing. And I'm going to tell you one quick last story. I'm running out of time here, but we did an outreach with a ministry. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this on Wednesday if you want to come back. I'm going to tell you the story about this guy. His name is Marcelo, but we did an outreach with another ministry about giving them food throughout this COVID-19 that we have going on. And this guy came up. It was two guys, but I'm very in love with Martin, with Marcelo, for what God has done in his life. But they came for warm food, and when they got there, we asked them if we can pray for them. And they say yes. And they have this broken life full of addiction. So when we pray with them, we share the gospel with them, and they got saved. Through all of this mess, they knew that they had to go somewhere, and they got to the right place. But the beautiful thing about all of this is Marcelo got saved, but not only he got saved, we was able to find somebody who can let us keep him at their house where he can be free of drugs, free of alcohol, free of all of this stuff that he had going on. And we teach him on Monday, we teach him a Bible class. On Tuesday, we disciple him with the church. We take turns to go visit this man. On Wednesday, he comes to church. On Thursday, we do more Bible classes with him. We had to teach him that he had to work because they have no discipline. And we teach him classes every day. On Fridays, we take him out so he can share the gospel and he can tell people his testimony that he's eager to tell people. It's amazing what God is doing with this man. Changed his life. And we give God the glory for all of this. Anyways, I'm going to close with this. We have about 200,000 Hispanics in Omaha, Nebraska. Not very many churches in Spanish sharing the gospel. Not very many at all. And we're the only Baptist church in the area, too. The other ones are a different denomination. But I'm glad that we obeyed the Lord, our God, and we went and shared the gospel in Omaha, Nebraska. And I'm going to tell you, if God called you to go do it, don't wait. Don't wait. And I would like to say, First Baptist, thank you for your support. Thank you.
I think the next slide is BCM in Northeastern State University, and we have the director here this morning. If you'll stand up, and your precious wife, and if you have been influenced or you're an influencer at the BCM at Northeastern State, or perhaps it was one of our other colleges, would you stand up if the BCM has been a huge influence in your life? Look at all the people, Bryce. Let me tell you. Their daughter Peyton's up here. You can't see him, but they minister to hundreds weekly, hundreds, and then he takes these students on mission all around the world, India and various places, Mexico, and he's doing a terrific work. He'll be set up over here in the gym. I hope you'll stop in and see him, Brother Bryce. We love you. Thank God for you. You're doing a good work. All right. Another missionary to Central America. You know, Brother Angel is a missionary to Central America, only they have migrated to the central part of North America. Brother Jimbo, Miss Beth, would y'all come up? They are missionaries to Nicaragua, and they're my friends. They're just godly, godly folks. To be on this stage with them is a true honor. God bless y'all. Share with us.
As the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We are I Am Ministries, beautiful wife Beth and not so beautiful me, but I've been here before. We've been here before, and we thank you. As we show the slides, we're just going to kind of swap up, but and then I'll tell a really neat story at the very end. And so now I'm going to let Beth talk.
Never say that you can't be called to missions, no matter how old you are, how young you are, or whatever the problem, because God took a 52-year-old woman who was afraid to fly and hated to speak in front of people and took me right out of my comfort zone, took me where I had to go and do that very thing. So God can take anybody and do anything with them. This map right here represents so much of my heart, because that started out with one little dot on it, one little village we've been in. And in 5.5 years, God has put 111 dots on that map. 80 of them are the churches that we work with there in Nicaragua. We have aligned ourselves with them. We go to every one of these churches. We have taught in them, preached in them, helped them in their construction. We've fed the people. These are our family. We know all 80 pastors, all their families, and all 80 churches are represented up there, as well as 20-something other churches that we've ministered in villages over the time. But that is what God can do in 5.5 years, whenever you don't think you have anything to give or anything to offer, and then God just comes in and does that.
Yes.
And that just represents, whenever Joe said pick four pictures, I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to pick four pictures out of all the thousands that I have? But this just represents what we do. I teach the women. Jimbo preaches to the congregation, and we just try to equip them to be able to go disciple their own people. Who better to reach their people than them? And so that's what we try to do, is just to teach them and help them, strengthen them and empower them to go and do what God has called them to do in each one of their villages.
Okay. I think it's me. We actually pastored in the U.S. for over 20 years, and I was almost 60, and we were pastoring at my home church, and we thought that'd be a good place to retire, but God had other plans. And so we thank him for that, actually. We've been able to build 16 churches and probably about 10 parsonages. And actually, we were able to build a parsonage during COVID-19 through proxy. You can see the guy on the right of me, he's our interpreter. He's also really our dear, dear friend. And he's been with us since the beginning. He's from there. And he has a ministry called Mercy Plate Ministry, where he feeds the elderly. But when we're there, he's with us. And we were getting ready to go down and teach the Baptist Faith and Message, and then coronavirus hit. We were going to teach that in all 80 churches. This is a very neat story. And Joe, when you told me I had 4 minutes, I told you I couldn't clear my throat in 4 minutes. But this guy right here is named Antonio Conejo. He's a pastor. He pastors a fairly large church. They run about 150 in his church. But he's also what we would call a DOM. They call them presbyters. And he has 16 churches under his guidance and leadership. And most of those guys that have to travel in the mountains very much have some kind of little motorcycle or something. And he had one, and we had helped him in the last couple of years fix his old motorcycle. And it was, I mean, I wouldn't have rode it across the street, and he was riding it on roads. I mean, it was took a lot of faith. And you can see he's about as big as I am. And if he didn't have a motorcycle, then he'd have to catch public transportation, which is an old school bus, and then walk up in the mountains for miles. And to try to take care of 16 churches and pastor your church, a little difficult. But anyway, back in October, I was here, and we were actually, I think, raising money to feed our pastors down there because they didn't have food. And so at the very end of that service, I told y'all about this guy, and I said, you know, God just laid it on my heart to try to buy him a new motorcycle because his old one had totally died. It was done. And I just mentioned it, and I said, if there's anybody here that would like to give to that project, just see me after church. And so after church, people just came by, and they would shake my hand. It'd have a check in it or maybe money. And so I just stuck it in my pocket. I didn't even look. And so we go to Brahms after the service, and I'm eating ice cream, of course. But so Joe says, "Did you count the money?" And I said, "No," because, you know, preachers like to know, right? We like to know. And anyway, so I pull the money out and I go to count it. And I had told you guys that it was going to cost about $2,000 to get a bigger one because he's a bigger guy. And so when I got through counting the money, it was $2,020. Now listen, that was on a Sunday night service, impromptu love. And God just moved in your heart and, more importantly, in your wallets. And you provided this for this young man. And I'm telling you, this guy wept for a church, people he had never even known, seen, that they would give just out of faith to help the ministry and the spreading of the gospel. And listen, that's huge. I'm telling you, God blesses that. He blesses that. So we're thankful, and we'll be out in the gym later.
Thank you.
Now, if y'all will flip the next slide up, I'll have to remember where we're at. We're at Latvia, and this is a partnership that East Central has had for about 5 years. And you can see that it's right next to Russia and against the Baltic Sea. It's a beautiful country, an Eastern European country, and there's been several groups go over there, and we're doing a church renovation project. And when I say church renovation project, we have mostly dismantled the old building and are starting to build it back up. There may be a couple of slides, I don't remember. We'll have to show you some of that work that's been going on here in the future sometime. There will also be a slideshow going on the table over there if you want to see. But it's been a tremendous opportunity for all different kinds of missions work, from Vacation Bible School to ladies ministry to construction to a pastor's retreat. And of course this year both trips have been canceled due to the coronavirus, but we're already looking at what God can do next year. And Brother Kevin Russell, who's our new director of missions, has put out the plea for a capital fundraiser. And I think he's been sending some money weekly over there to help with that project. And so it's ongoing. They're working. And this is something that our church will continue to be a part of as the Lord leads us. And we're just thankful that God has given us this window of opportunity in those Baltic states there to try to minister. They were under communism for 50 years. And when they got that freedom again, one of the things they began to do was build their churches back up that had been crushed by communism. And so here you see some of the work going on. The pastor and his wife was the picture before that, of course. And be in prayer for Latvia, for Rymans and Agrita and the church in Bauska. And just that God will use them in a mighty way to see souls saved. It's a very difficult country to reach people with the gospel. They're so closed. And so pray for them. And there's a picture of us there last year. All right, let's move on to the next section. I think it's Stars in Action. Operation Christmas Child. If you are a part of Operation Christmas Child, a ministry of Samaritan's Purse, would you stand up? Miss Kathy West, my mother-in-law, is one of the assistants to the director, I believe, in this area. Miss Rita helps, and several of the other ladies here in the church are a part of that. Brother Dennis helps with that. They are set up over there with some material and different things to help you understand. Our church has really gotten behind Operation Christmas Child. Is it out of every 18 boxes, one child comes to faith in Christ? Is that right? Out of And they send millions of boxes over there at Christmas time to various countries. And out of every 18 box, one young person comes to faith. That, I don't know where you could do that and have a better return. And so we will be, you'll see in your bulletin some items that are needed every month as we begin to look forward to packing those boxes one more time. All right, let's see. Well, those are some handsome boys, aren't they? We'll see. I think Stars in Action is next. Nope. What's next? Show us. Brother Kevin, you come. Our new director of missions, you haven't been introduced to him yet. And we're so pleased to have you, brother, on the field.
Well, it is a blessing to be able to be here, and as Joe has already shared with you, with our partnership with Latvia and in Nebraska, what a great opportunity we have as an association to work together, because we do so much more together than what we can do by ourselves. And so that is a great theme that we have through Oklahoma Baptist, is to be able to work with one another. Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? Do you ever have that problem with working with each other? No, don't answer that, okay? You know, but we do. We do sometimes. But you know what? When we put our selfish needs and desires behind us and we take up God's plan, then we do much more together than we can ever do by ourselves. And it's all about what? It's all about the kingdom of God. And so just as the testimonies that we've already heard this morning, man, I am so excited about what we've been able to do as an association with these groups. And I say that we because as your church here, being a part of East Central Baptist Association and along with the other churches in our association, many of those churches have been represented in Nebraska and in Latvia and Nicaragua and other communities and around the world. And so I am so grateful to just be a face you might look at as being head of our East Central Baptist Association. So I appreciate you. We don't exist without you, our local churches. And so I appreciate you that we are able to have a partnership with you along with Oklahoma Baptist and to serve faithfully there. We also, as you give to Tin Killer Baptist Assembly. And what a blessing it is to be a part of that also. And with so many camps that are not going to be meeting this year, then we have the opportunity to be able to minister to kids where many were not. And so we are planning on having camp this year. We are pushing our children's camp to the 29th of June. And we will do that week, and then that very first week in July, we will have youth camp, and it's been kind of said in this manner, you know, when we look at some of the larger state camps that we have, you know, there's a lot that goes on there. But when you're running 150, 250 kids, we can make some decisions of being able to follow some CDC guidelines and be able to have a safe camp, I believe. But more importantly, our primary goal is to be able to share the gospel with students. And that's what we want to do, and be able to share that with them so that they might be able to go home, because many of those kids, their parents don't attend services and they're not Christians, and we want them to go home and to be a special blessing into their families. So we thank you for supporting Tin Killer Baptist Assembly. We have some needs, and in our newsletter this month, as that comes out, you'll be getting that this week. We have some on the table back there, but we have some needs that we have there of just being able to borrow some things for camp, or if you are interested in donating some things, we would love to have those things. Some of that is going to be just some simple things this year because of this coronavirus. We're going to need more hand sanitizer, okay? We're going to need some of those things, and tissue paper towels, those kinds of items. Maybe if you could collect some of those things, drop them off at the camp, or call me and I'll come and get them. But we are going to need some extra of that this year, I believe, to be able to facilitate camp the way we should. Also, with a partnership, as several things that we do as an association, but we also are active in Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. And I would encourage you, you might say, You know, I don't believe God's called me to foreign missions or to national missions. I think God wants me to work right where I'm at. And so fortunately, your church has got a number, as Joe mentioned, number of mission opportunities locally. But you know, sometimes locally we have tornadoes and we have storms and floods and those kinds of things that do a lot of damage to people's homes. And when people go through times of adverse situations, such as this pandemic, we may not see a lot of damage that we have to clean up. But when a tornado goes through or an ice storm goes through and they're out of power and they've lost their food and they begin to lose direction, it is great for Oklahoma Baptist to be able to come in through disaster relief and to be able to provide some direction for them. And, you know, I've had people say, well, I just don't understand how disaster relief is a missions organization. Well, we do what we do to be able to earn the right to be able to share the gospel with people. That's our primary goal. You stand on somebody's porch and they see you cutting up their tree because it was going to cost them several thousands of dollars to do that, and we cut it up for free, and they're more than willing to listen to you then and to share the gospel with them and to hope that they made a decision. One of the things that we do many times is we take a Bible and we sign that Bible. Everybody on the team will sign that Bible and we'll hand that Bible to them and we say, we don't want this to be a reminder of what this storm did. We want this to be a reminder of what God has done. And so we give that to them. And Joe, what I am going to do, I'm going to leave you a Bible. We have some specific Bibles that we have taken and stamped Oklahoma Disaster Relief on there. And Joe, if you would just pass that Bible around. Okay. And if you would take that Bible and maybe take it for a week and pray over the next disaster or the disaster that Bible is going to be handed to and sign your name in the back of it, then we're going to be able to take some Bibles and we're going to be able to say, you know what? People prayed for you before this ever happened. And so we are glad that you, as a community and a church, partner with East Central Baptist Association so that we're able to serve through Tin Keller Baptist Assembly, and then with our other partnerships that we have across the state and around the world.
Thank you, Brother Kevin. All right, Stars in Action. If you participated or were a coach or a referee or the director, one other category, if in the past you became a member of this church or you were directed here through Stars in Action, I want you to stand at this time because God has worked and moved in that way too. So stand up where you are, up in the balcony, down here on the floor. Go ahead and flip through some of those slides. Just stay standing just for a minute. Some of y'all are going to see yourselves in these pictures. There's some of our teams with their coaches. This is a wonderful opportunity in the wintertime, middle of wintertime, nothing else going on. Five-year-old to eight-year-olds get to play basketball on a team. And you talk about entertainment. That is fun. And they just had a good time together. The green team, I think, was undefeated. Nobody keeps a score, but, you know, I think they were undefeated. They were a good little club there. And we had seven different teams, and at times we would have about 200, 250 people rotate through our gym on Saturday morning. It's a tremendous opportunity. Thank you for participating. Thank you for helping. It was a wonderful year. All right, what's next? Caring Hearts. If you are involved in Caring Hearts, and this is our homebound ministry, Brother Mike and Miss Cleta Brown head this up, and they do a terrific job. And you have a lot of helpers. If you're one of their, what do we call them, Brother Mike?
Caring Hearts are prayer warriors.
They're prayer warriors. And the teams that go out and take the different... Okay. If you're one of those people that are involved in that stand-up, I know my wife and I are. Some of you, there you are. You all are a great ministry to our Homebound, and we want to thank you. There are some of our members there. They have a lovely banquet in February, and just a great ministry to those that can't get out. Thank you so much for being faithful to our elder. Praise be. All right. What is next? Care Portal. Miss Terry Hetherington is the Sequoia County coordinator, I believe. And then we have a room designated upstairs in our education wing where we gather up materials. When DHS gets a need with a family that's trying to get reunited with children or a foster family that's getting children, they email the director, the coordinator, and then they send out messages to churches that are signed up for this, and they meet the needs of these families. And I don't know how many needs have been met. I think the next slide might show some of the needs that were met during coronavirus. You see the different lives touched there. Just in the nation during the COVID-19 impact, what an impact that's being made. And what it is you're able to go to that family with the item that they need, whether it's a car seat, a bunk bed, groceries or something like that, and you're able as a church to hand that to them and pray with them. And that's a lot different than if the government does it, I promise you. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for us. And I'm just thankful for all of you that are participating. Some of you have donated items. Thank you for helping in this outreach program that we're involved in. All right, guys, let's move to the next. Vacation Bible School. I was just telling the folks that are here as our special guest today, a Vacation Bible School in my time as a pastor has been the best outreach by far for families than any other outreach. We always have families come into the church, either by baptism, salvation and baptism, or moving their membership because of Vacation Bible School. Almost every year you will see this, and what a tremendous privilege. I know probably all of us are involved in Vacation Bible School. Thank you for being faithful in this ministry. There's some fun-loving girls. And just if you're not signed up yet, there's a sign-up sheet down there at the Vacation Bible School booth as you enter into the gym. Please help us. That's going to be the July 6th through the 10th. Thank you, Mrs. Director. All right. This would be, remember us taking up those baby bottles? This is Hope Pregnancy Centers across the state helping to save lives, one pregnancy at a time. All right, we got a video. Brother Greg is our region's coordinator, our go-to guy, and I'm telling you something, we have the best one in the state as far as I'm concerned. Brother Greg does a tremendous job. And we're going to watch a video that shows what Oklahoma Baptist Homes for Children does.
For more than 100 years, Oklahoma Baptist Homes for Children's purpose has been to provide a home for children in need. Our mission is to demonstrate God's love by providing hope through empowering children and their families to follow Christ. More than 11,000 children who have come through these doors not only found a place to call home, but have also found love, hope, and a purpose. Over the years, OBHC's ministry has grown and expanded, offering additional programs and services with a focus of always serving children. OBHC is best known for its child-focused care, with four campuses across the state, located in Edmond, Oklahoma City, Owosso, and Medill. Three of these campuses provide child-focused care, where up to 8 boys or 8 girls are placed in a cottage-style home under the supervision of a husband and wife serving as house parents. Children enjoy day-to-day life together, from activities to meals, chores, and homework, as they learn to grow in a supportive family environment. There are a variety of activities for those living on campus, and everyone is encouraged to participate in the numerous programs offered. These include animal care programs, where residents take care of animals, ranging from working with and training dogs, learning to ride and care for horses in the horse program, to learning to tend and show larger farm animals like sheep, cows, or pigs. OBHC also has work programs. Residents have the opportunity to help with general work and maintenance around the campus or learn new skill sets. The goals of these programs are to teach children work ethic, responsibility, and how to care for other people and their surroundings, all of which can be applied to their personal lives. OBHC teaches and encourages spiritual growth through daily cottage devotions and involvement in their local church. House parents help with spiritual guidance in hopes each person might have and grow in a personal relationship with Christ. Each campus has transitional living to assist residents who have graduated high school by offering more independent, apartment-style housing, so they may work or continue their education in college or a trade school. Since 2007, OBHC has offered family-focused care through the Children's Hope Program. Children's Hope was developed to help single mothers who may have limited or no support or resources and provide an opportunity to develop a solid foundation for herself and the children in her custody. The goal is to help families become more self-sufficient by providing a safe, stable, and nurturing place to live, while equipping, assisting, and teaching important skills that support both the mother and her children. Baptist Children's Home, Oklahoma City, and Baptist Children's Home, Owosso, offer these services. Since its beginning, more than 350 families and 620 children have been involved in the Children's Hope program. Hope Pregnancy Center is another program of OBHC. Hope's mission is to help young men and women have hope and choose life in the midst of an unplanned pregnancy. Trained staff and volunteers offer education and support for men and women facing this decision. The desire of the staff is to encourage, affirm dignity and self-worth, and provide positive alternatives for individual situations and needs. In addition, Hope provides an empowered parenting class that teaches and prepares young families who are pregnant or raising a child in their first year. Participants can earn baby bucks to purchase items associated with having a new baby. With centers located in Ardmore, Edmond, Tulsa, and two in Oklahoma City, Hope served nearly 4,000 individuals last year. One such child is a foster care program with a primary goal of assisting churches in the development or enhancement of a foster care ministry that encourages and ministers to foster families within their church and community. One such child also connects families interested in becoming foster parents with licensed child placing agencies throughout Oklahoma. LifeWise is a student education program that provides middle school and high school students with teaching opportunities for goal setting, decision making, healthy relationships, and sexual risk avoidance. Facilitated by trained community volunteers, LifeWise uses a nationally approved curriculum and can be presented in a classroom or school assembly. Last year, more than 2,000 students participated in the program. All OBHC services are provided at no cost to the individual or family, nor does OBHC accept government funds. These services are dependent on the generosity of caring people, churches, and organizations who want to serve children and families in need. For more information about this organization and these services,
Well, you've heard from some true servants of the Lord today. Whether you've seen their picture up there, you've heard them speak. They are doing a good work where God has put them and planted them, just as Miss Amber's talking about there, about being in that field. And so what we want to do as we get ready to dismiss and go over and eat and look at the different tables and the different things that they've brought with them today, we want to ask them to come up here and stand. If you're part of any of these ministries, a church planter or a missionary, we want you just to kind of line up along the front here. We're going to pray for them, and we're going to ask God to continue to put a hedge of protection about them. We're going to ask God to give them fruit for their labor and to give them boldness as they speak the Word of God. Any of those ministries, if you're involved in Stars in Action or if you're involved in Operation Christmas Child, we're asking you to come. And Vacation Bible School, I want to ask Rebecca to come up here as the director of that. And Miss Mickey, if you'll make your way, I know you're a big influence and helper there. And Brother Jeff is coming for Stars in Action. Folks, these are the ways that we both make disciples, teach, and see people converted and baptized and brought into the fellowship of this local church and local churches all over the world. And so I want us to pray for these servants of the Lord. And then I want you to think about it like this. If God is working in your life, if maybe He stirred something in you about missions or church planting or one of these local ministries, I want you to, don't be afraid to come up here and stand and pray with them after we pray for them. Maybe you want to ask them a question. Maybe they can take you aside and pray with you. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that in just a few minutes. Miss Rhoda, if you could slip to the piano, and we're just going to ask her to play. And this is the invitation time this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. So would you bow with me? And I'm going to pray for all of these folks that have gathered here. Father, I thank you so much for the work that's going on in places all over the world. It starts here and that works out all over, Father. And we've got to hear from some of your choice servants today. God, I pray for them. I ask that you would minister to their heart, to their soul. Father, in this waiting time for them, I pray for you to bless them with strength and wisdom. Father, that you would fill their heart with joy. God, rejuvenate them, revive them, refresh them. And Father, I pray as they will approach the ministry that you put before them in the days and weeks and months to come, that Father, you will give them fruit for the labor. God, that you will help them to be bold in their witness. And that Father, that we would hear the stories and see the results of the harvest coming in. God, I pray for a hedge of protection about each of them, but the families, the ministries there, the churches that they touch, the Christians' lives that they influence. God, that you would just wrap your arms around them, gird them up. And Father, for the time that you have them on the field, I pray, Lord, that what you want to accomplish through their lives will be accomplished for the glory and honor of you, our Father in heaven, of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Father, for what we've been able to hear and experience. Lord, help us to not let this fall on deaf ears or on hard, hard hearts. But Lord, help it to be a catalyst, a cause for us to remember them in prayer and to partner with them and to pray every day for them, Lord, to give to the work. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you and praise you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, would you just stand with me? Perhaps you would like to come and pray with one of these. I'm going to invite you to do that. Maybe you want to come and pray for them yourself. Please, just come on. This is the invitation. I'll come down front as well if you'd like to come as a lost person wanting to follow Jesus and to come into salvation. I want to help you. You want to come join this church? I'll help you. Whatever God's leading you to do, you do that at this time.